Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
Go be reconciled to your brother. When there is love and harmony and peace and goodwill between two souls, that's how human relationships should be. But when something happens to introduce anger or animosity or resentment or discord or hostility, then the relationship is broken and needs to be fixed, needs to be reconciled. And Jesus is pretty straightforward about it here. He doesn't pull any punches. Basically, he says when a relationship is broken, fix it or go to hell. For the rest of chapter 5, Jesus is going to go on to convict the scribes and Pharisees on 6 counts of faulty righteousness, bad righteousness, and he sentences them to a life in hell without possibility of parole or appeal. And last time, we began studying count number 1, which is murder. The defendants are found guilty of inadequate keeping of the no murder law, commandment number 6 in the Ten Commandments. Verse 21, you have heard it was said to people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who's angry with his brother is subject to judgment. So their inadequate, skin-deep righteousness was a system where all you had to do to obey the 6th commandment was don't kill people. But Jesus points out that anger is actually also a violation of the 6th commandment because it has the same DNA as murder. It's an assault on the image of God. In the second half of verse 22, Jesus moves from anger to contempt. Anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. Anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. And at this point, we've got to address the obvious question. What about Jesus? He did both those things. He got angry and he called people fools. Matthew 23:17, you blind fools! And in Mark 3:5, it says Jesus was angry and it used this exact same word for anger used here. So did Jesus deserve to go to hell because he got angry and because he called people fools? And if not, how do we discern when should we follow Jesus' example in Matthew 23 and call people fools, and when should we refrain from calling someone a fool lest we go to hell or be deserving of hell? What are we going to do with this? Could it be that Jesus is he's exempt from the whole no name-calling thing because he's God? No, that's not it, because even apart from Jesus' example, we have to deal with the fact that Scripture requires us to discern who the fools are. Because we have to decide when someone's a fool, because the Bible tells us to deal differently with fools than we deal with other people. Proverbs 26 gives a whole bunch of warnings about dealing with fools. Be careful when you hire a fool. Don't send an important message with a fool. These are times when you should, normally when you would respond to a regular person, but if it's a fool, don't respond. And there's other times when, if it's a regular person, you let something slide with a fool, don't let it slide. There's all kinds of advice about dealing differently with fools. And so we have to know who the fools are if we're going to deal with them differently. And so if we need to deal with fools in a different way than deal with wise people, we've got to discern who they are. And so it's not always wrong to determine that somebody is indeed a fool, nor is it wrong always to tell the person that this is your judgment of them, nor is it always wrong to tell someone else that that person is a fool. Sometimes we need to do that. There are times we need to make that determination. There are times when fools need to be told that they're fools, and there are times when the fools are so dangerous to others that the loving thing to do is actually warn people about them. And that's exactly what Jesus was doing in Matthew 23. So if you're the type who feels it's your role to continually point out everybody's folly and everybody's stupidity, and you justify it because you're saying, well, I'm just doing the same sort of thing that Jesus did in Matthew 23. I'm following in his steps. That's what you're doing, and go right ahead. Be critical all you want. Just remember, you do it wrong. And it is a crime worthy of hell. So be careful. If you're absolutely sure you're doing it just like Jesus did it, fine. There's no selfish anger mixed in. There's no condescending, prideful contempt. Go right ahead. Knock yourself out. Make all the judgments you want. But you better be absolutely sure, because if you call someone a fool in the Matthew 5 way, you're deserving of hell. You say, well, how did Jesus do it? Well, what was the difference between what he did and what he forbade? What's the right way and the wrong way to call someone a fool? Well, I'll just throw out a few here, differences that I thought of. For one thing, Jesus' rebuke of the Pharisees was not a response of selfish anger. It was not retaliation where they did something to hurt him and he was retaliating with hostile words. That's not what was happening. Secondly, what Jesus did was necessary. These were men who were, they were influential. They were leading many people astray. Many people slamming the door of heaven in people's faces. They were wolves in sheep's clothing. And God's people needed to be warned about these men. Jesus wasn't just griping and complaining like when we hear the news and we just, it's stupid congressman, such a fool. That's not the thing. Jesus was, he wasn't just idle complaining. It was purposeful. It was necessary. It was needed to protect people. Third, Jesus' heart was full of compassion. The people at Westboro, they hold up their signs with big smiles on their faces. You go to their website and they're holding these signs with a great big grin on their face. And they on their website it says they celebrate every time God brings His wrath on people through some school shooting or act of terrorism or some soldier being killed. They love it. Compare that to the heart of Jesus that we saw 2 weeks ago when He rode into Jerusalem weeping because of the wrath of and the punishment that was going to come upon Jerusalem. If we're quick, if you're the type that's quick to call someone a fool, but your eyes are just dry as a bone, that is not, you're not doing it the way Jesus did it. Another thing I'll throw in, for Jesus it was rare. You look and you find it there in Matthew 23. You don't find it very many places where Jesus calls someone a fool. Fourth, Jesus' anger over sin never pushed Him into sin. He responded to it with righteous actions, righteous words, never sinful actions and sinful words. If your distress over evil pushes you in the direction of retaliation, mocking, belittling, contempt, gossip, it's not like Jesus. And then fifth, Jesus' rebukes were only one side of the coin. Jesus, in general, was not a negative person. He didn't walk around rebuking, criticizing, complaining about everyone and everything all the time.
There are times when we need to call people out on sin, and sometimes we need to do it with some strong language, some hard words. But when that happens, when you speak harshly towards someone, which of the five tests that we looked at in today's podcast are you most prone to violate? Number one, the no retaliation principle. You don't do it to get the person back. You're not retaliating. Number two, you only do it when it's necessary. It must be done. It's not something that can just be overlooked. Number three, you do it with compassion in your heart toward the person. Number four, Jesus never confronted people with hard words in a way that pushed Him into sin. Hard words can really ignite a lot of sinful attitudes in the heart. And so to be like Jesus, we really need to make sure that we're doing it in a way that is generating righteous attitudes, not sinful ones. And then number five, it's the exception, not the rule in your life. You're not always critical. You're mostly uplifting, and you notice the good in people. Spend a moment just reflecting on which of those you could give some attention to today, so that when you confront people, you can be more like Jesus.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.